We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The baseball game is over. It's time for the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show with Tim Allen on The Fan.
It is a final from Miller Park, and the results are good. The Brewers hanging in there, a 9-5 win over the Kansas City Royals, game one of this three-game weekend set. Tim Allen, and welcome, everybody. Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show as we talk about 10 games left in the 2020 championship season. They get it done tonight. Hold and serve here over the weekend before things really get good. They're really good now. Don't get me wrong. Every game, you know, from here on out is pretty vital. And just to get you up to speed, Cubs win, Reds win, Cardinals win two today over the Pittsburgh Pirates. So Brewers just hold and serve. They actually lose a half game to the Cardinals. And you're a game and a half back of St. Louis. You're a game back of Cincinnati with 10 to play. I'm not saying that's where you want to be. I'm saying all things considered, you're not in a bad spot. You're really not in a bad spot right now with just the 10 games remaining here. Brewers 24 and 26 through the first 50 games of the 60-game shortened season, and they do it with some offense, obviously, but it did not look good early. And I know what you're thinking late. Here in the ninth inning, Josh Hader, what is he doing in the ball game? Well, we'll get to a little bit of that coming up in a bit. If you want to react on this one, 10 games left, and I'm wondering what it's going to take to get in of those 10 games. You know, you have to go 6-4. Is that going to be good enough? I guess it would matter where those six wins come from. If five of them are against St. Louis and, you know, the other ones against the Cincinnati Reds, I don't know if that's good enough to get it done. They may have to do a little bit better than 6-4 to get themselves in. And again, we're assuming that St. Louis and Cincinnati is not going to go on a little bit of a slide, which could very well happen, guys. And that's the cool thing about scoreboard watching here over the weekend before the Brewers do get to Cincinnati is that these guys could open the door and let you in a little bit. And that could very well happen. We're going to hear from Craig Counsell coming up. Ryan Braun, topic of conversation as well, because he left the game after a couple of ABs, and that didn't look good. So the going off about Brawny playing, this is the risk you run, and again, you want to slide some chips in, this is what can happen. And it looks like, I don't know, what did it look like to you, Austin, Texas, producing the show tonight? It's just, I don't know if it was a back, if it was a leg. I'm going to say it was a torso thing for Brawny. What did it look like for you?
It came out that Braun had lower back tightness.
Yeah.
And that's why he was pulled. So I'm hoping it's more precautionary than anything. But he looked like he was struggling there a little bit. Yeah. I'm surprised they kept him in after that first inning, after he couldn't even run all the way down to second base. On the double play.
Yeah, on the double play. Yeah. Yeah. So he's very ginger on the legs, and you could tell it was a sort of a torso thing. It's just the way it looked. And, you know, it again, as much as we want him to play, and I'm in there, you guys know where I'm at, which camp I'm in. That is, play him until he can't play anymore. That's just what you have to do. You run the risk of this, and I'm okay with it. And so that we have to discuss as well. But of these 10 games, is 6-4 good enough to get it done? I'm not sure 5-5 is going to get it done. Craig Counsell and his Milwaukee Brewers Septembers have been super, super good. With this win, they're 8-8 in the month of September this year. In past couple of years, they were 20-7 to finish out the stretch toward the end there. And even back in 2017, Craig Counsell-led Brewers were 16-12 to finish things up. So he's got them back to .500 in the month of September. But again, you're looking uphill a little bit. And it's not a steep incline, but it is an uphill climb a little bit. 414-799-1250 if you want to jump in here and give your thoughts on the final 10 games remaining. Are they getting in? Tell me they're getting in somehow, some way. We talked to an old friend of ours, colleague here on The Fan, now covers the Royals pre- and post-game, Josh Vernier, about the chances of the Brewers getting in. And he says yes, and that's from a distance a little bit. Says they're getting in. Let's go over our game recap here as the Brewers get a 9-5 victory, game one of the three-game weekend set. It did not. I will just start out with this. Are you kidding me? When you come off an off day again and you lay an egg early again, Austin and I went back when things were falling apart early in this baseball game. It dawned on me to go back and look at what the Brewers' record is right after an off day. And coming into today's game, it was 2-5. Now, obviously, 3-5 because of the comeback victory. But have you noticed that, too? Coming off the off days this year, they have not been sharp. Now, maybe it's just coincidence. I don't know. I don't know if I have an answer to that. And maybe that's just circumstance. But just saying, this did not look good early. Adrian Houser, all sorts of trouble in the first. Just a couple of pitches in, a base hit, then a wild pitch, runner at second, nobody out to start the game. Immediately you're into some trouble. Royals tried to give away an out there in the second batter with that runner at second base. Squared to bunt three times in the sequence. Deep count, walks the guy. First and second, nobody out. Sal Perez hits him for a two-run double. Two zip, three batters into the baseball game. Coming off the off day, and Adrian Houser really needed a pick-me-up start. He really did. And it wasn't good. Guys, it wasn't. Although, he's been so bad his last five or six starts that his ERA actually went down today. Believe it or not, went from 5.40 to 5.33. We'll get his line here in just a second. But three batters into the game, Brewers trail, two zip. He gets an out, line out for the first out. Then a base hit, first and third, two in, one out, then a stolen base. Nottingham throws it away. Another run scores. It's 3-0, runner at second base, and just that one out. Then a walk, three hits, two walks, a wild pitch, and an error in the inning. I mean, again, three hits, two walks, a wild pitch, an error in the first inning. I was fuming. Finally, a double play off the bat of Gordon. That gets him out of it. Bottom of the first. It's 3-0. Brewers traffic in the bottom half. One out base hit by Yelich. Then Brawny a base hit. And he hurt the back on a foul ball swing, it appears. We'll get details on that coming up in a little bit. Into the second inning, 3-0. Couple of strikeouts for Houser. Settles in at least in the second inning. Three up, three down. Brewers strike out in order in the bottom half. Keston, gone. Taylor, gone. Arcia, gone. Three zip into the third inning. continues to be ugly. Leadoff base hit to right. Braun slow getting to it. Throws it to Hira. Gets away from Keston. Runner moves to second. That's an error on Braun. Two pitches later, RBI base hit. It's 4-0. And looking ugly, guys. Two errors in the game. A couple of stolen bases. It's just a messy, messy start to this baseball game. Another stolen base. Then a chopper in front of the mound. Nottingham, a nice play, goes to third. Gets the runner there. One out, one in, one on at that point. And then Hauser gets out of that inning, gives up a couple of hits, an error, that stolen base. I mean, it's just a laundry list of negatives adding up to the bottom of the third inning. Brewers offense going away in the bottom of the third. Hauser, a 1-2-3 fourth. However, they get off the schneid here, as they say, in the bottom of the fourth inning. How about number 150 in Yelly's career?
2-0 hit to center. Deep. Back Olivares. Warning track. Number 11 for Christian Yelich.
Yeah, there it was on Fox Sports Wisconsin. Brawny then had a base hit. And he's got to come out of the game at that point. 2-for-2. I mean, even the guy's just stepping up. Hopefully he can get in there tomorrow or the next day for sure. Ben Gamel replaces him. A walk to Jerko after that. Base hit by Keston. Loads the bases. Nobody out. One in. 4-1. Brewers coming back. Bottom of the fourth inning. Shallow fly ball for the first out. All runners hold. Then Orlando Arcia, yeah, he knocks in a run the easy way. It was a four-pitch walk. We'll take that. That makes it 4-2. Two in, bases loaded, one out. And then Urias came up. He then strikes out. That's a big strikeout right there. Two outs, two in, bases juiced in that 4-2 game. At that time in the fourth, Jacob Nottingham with one big swing of the bat.
High fly, left field, drifting back Gordon, gone! Grand slam for the Sheriff!
Yeah, there it was, as Jacob Nottingham with a huge grand slam in this game. Wow! That turned things around from one of the uglier games of the season. Now, I don't know if you can get much uglier than the no-hitter game against Chicago, but this was working on it. It was, until this inning right here, and that big swing by Jacob Nottingham. That is the turning point with the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove, Wisconsin. Track rental and event information, greatlakesdragway.com. Wow, that was one of the bigger swings as of late. Six runs on five hits with a walk. They bat 10 in the fourth, and they take a two-run lead, 6-4, into the fifth inning. Rasmussen in for the fifth inning. Now, this is interesting, too. You got a short start from Adrian Hauser here. Drew Rasmussen put into another tight ball game. And cross your fingers on that. Because, again, you're looking at Devin Williams and Josh Hader in the back end of that bullpen. They need a little support back there. Drew Rasmussen. Did I say Anderson? I might have. Drew Rasmussen is the guy. And I think he... gets a little wild at times, but I think he's the next candidate up in the back end of that bullpen. Hauser, five hits, four runs, just two earned in the performance tonight through four innings of work. Rasmussen into some trouble with a base hit and a walk with two outs, but a big strikeout ends that threat. 6-4. That's a big point in the ballgame, too. Royals trying to come back. Bottom of the fifth, Brewers back to work. Leadoff double by Ben Gamel, followed up by a walk to Jed Jerko. Two on, nobody out in the bottom half. Keston Hira then strikes out for the first out. Tyrone Taylor with a pop-up for the second out. Now, don't let him off the hook. Now, come on. Orlando Arcia. No, he says, no way. I got to put on the show here and add on three more.
Arcia to left center. Gordon looking. Arcia with a three-run shot. Brewers up five on Arcia's fourth home run of the season.
Yeah, there you go. Lando, a three-run bomb, makes it 9-4 into the sixth inning. And things just chilled out from here. Although Claudio got into some trouble there. A single, a double to put runners in the second and third with nobody out. But Alex then gets a pop-up and a strikeout, and Council goes to the pen to get Yardley. Two on, two out right there to face Whit Merrifield. And that was a tough battle, too. Full count, gets a comebacker, knocks it down, and throws him out. That's a good call from Craig Council to go to Yardley right there instead of letting Alex Claudio finish up that inning. The Brewers, a two-out chance in the bottom half. Two-out double by Ben Gamel is second on the night. Base hit by Jerko, runners at the corners, but Keston strikes out, stays 9-4 into the seventh inning. Justin Topa pitches a scoreless seventh inning. Leadoff double, but strikeout, ground out. 9-4 into the bottom of the seventh inning. Two-out double for Orlando Arcia. Brewers off the board, 9-4 into the eighth inning. Who's going to pitch that eighth inning with a short start from Hauser? Corey Knebel, in and out of trouble in that eighth inning, does not allow a run. 9-4 into the bottom half. Brewers load the bases in the bottom of the eighth. I thought it was going to be a two grand slam night. And Josh Hader on for the ninth inning. What did you guys make of that? Has not pitched since Monday. And gives up a leadoff home run to Perez. Sal Perez had a nice night, four hits, including that home run. That made it 9-5, but Hader comes back to strike out the side. So was it to get some work done? Was it just because he hasn't pitched in a while? And you don't want him going cold here. Maybe it's things you got to work on. We need to keep in mind, too, about relief pitchers. I mean, think about this throughout the course of a baseball season. Relievers, you can't just say, well, I'm going to go pitch a bullpen. I'm going to go pitch a bullpen, in the morning or right before workouts. You know, you just don't do that in baseball. When you work on your stuff is in a game. So there comes a time where these guys need to stay fresh, stay warm, get some work in, as they say. Maybe that was the case for Josh Hader here. And there's your final, 9-5 final. Brewers 24-26, now just 10 games remaining here in the 2020 regular season as the big blast, a Jacob Nottingham Grand Slam. On the show tonight, we'll hear from Craig Council. Looking forward to hearing the answer on the Ryan Braun injury. Looking forward to hearing the conversation about Josh Hader. Also on the show, Pat Murphy. Didn't get a chance to play this on the On Deck show today, but Murph is back with the team. Was not in dugout tonight, but starting tomorrow will be for the remaining 10 games of the season. Before the break here, let's get in Mike. Mike, you're on the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. What's up?
Hey, Tim, you there?
You bet.
Yeah, I got a brand new phone, love and life. Let's win the next 10. But I'm going to start out with Sparky. I made a bet, pizza bet. I didn't think Braun would be in there tonight. Hold on. Mr. September, are you there?
I'm here.
Yeah. Did he finish the game?
No.
About that lollygag throw that turned into a double?
Well, he was hurt, and he definitely is hurt. So there's a back issue going on. Now, that may explain things.
I'm all ears. I'm all ears.
It could. All right, Mike, thanks. Thanks for the call. That could explain things a little bit. Why he's in and out of the lineup? I mean, it certainly is what we all expected, is that the back is acting up, on and off. Okay, well, what kind of on and off is it? One swing of the bat? I mean, is that kind of, I'm not in his body, man. He knows his body. They know his body. And this is really what it has to come to. Ronnie, you got to play. You got to play. That's just the reality of it. And a lot of these guys play hurt. And Bronny, I'm not saying he doesn't. I'm just saying now it's more important than ever that he does. All right, 414-799-1250. Final 10 games of the season coming up. What's it going to take to get in? Game and a half back of St. Louis for second. Game back of Cincinnati for, in theory, third place. And then we'll check the wild card standings as well. They were a game and a half roughly coming in, so we'll have to check and see that race as well. So there are two different paths to get in. One thing is certain, though, they're going to have to take care of the Cincinnati Reds starting on Monday. So you need to stay close enough to the Cardinals. Now, again, a game and a half back of the Cardinals right now isn't such a crazy thing because you have five games left against St. Louis. However, if you're staring at like a 2.5 game deficit, say a 3 game deficit, that's not going to be easy. Then you're talking, you got to take a minimum 4 of 5 in that series. So they're teetering a little bit here, just a little bit. Thank goodness you got the Royals. I'm not saying that it's a situation where you should expect a sweep, but you should expect a sweep. I mean, you really want to be legit here, then you got to sweep the Royals. So check the box. Game one goes to the crew, 9-5 final. So Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. Tim Allen, Austin, Texas is here, and you guys at 414-799-1250. Brewers 8-8 in the month of September, if you're keeping track. Game back of Cincy. Game and a half back of St. Louis. Oh, this is just getting good. We'll be back on The Fan.
It's the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. It's time to dive into the box score for today's game on The Fan. Brought to you by the Laborers International Union Local 113. Feel the power. On the web at LIUNA113.org.
All right, the Brewers get the first one. There's two to play here. Let's start with number two tomorrow, and they'll go back at it and try and make it two in a row. Then you can bust out the brooms, hopefully. They win this one tonight. Game one of this three-game set against the Kansas City Royals. Did not look good early. They're down 4-0. And their offense is not there. Their defense is sloppy. Adrian Hauser, another rough start. I can say this, that there were some Brewer fans that were like, really, this is what you're coming at the Royals with? But they righted the ship, and they did it in style, too. Yelia bomb. Jacob Nottingham, a grand slam in this one. Orlando Arcia, a three-run shot. And they poured on to a 9-5 victory. And again, 24-26, just 10 games remaining here in the campaign, the regular season, that is. And it's interesting in the Adrian Hauser performance. And you wonder if, you know, Josh Lindblom, for lack of good performances, he was held out of the rotation a little bit. I wonder if they're going to do that with Adrian Hauser. Hauser seems to be a little bit of, I want to say a teacher's pet, but I want to also just smile when I say that. But you know what I mean. He's the one that was named a starter like back in November. I mean, there was no debate with Adrian Hauser. Craig Counsell just came out and said Adrian Hauser will be in our rotation in 2020. Okay, and he is. And they held true to that. And he started out his first two or three starts outstanding. Really looked like he was taking the next step. Then the wrong direction hit Adrian Hauser. And it's just not super competitive right now. It's not. The ERA is sky high. The whip is way up there. There's some wild pitches going on. There's just... I think you're forced to probably start him again. You've got 10 games left. I guess you could go with a four-man if you had to. But is that Lindblom in a four-man? I think you're forced to probably go right back to Adrian Hauser again. And I would say that that's what they're going to do. The other thing to take a look at with Adrian is how well he did and does coming out of the pen. Austin, you've got the splits in front of you.
Yes, I do. As a starter, he started 27 games in his career. He's 3-12 with a 4.88 ERA.
I mean, you talk about growing pains. That's growing pains. And I know Council hates when you use that term, but that's what that is right there. And I do believe that Hauser's got a bright future. I do. He's just a little slow on the maturation get along. That's all. He's just a little bit slower than some other guys. So 27 starts, a 3-12 mark, and a close to 5 ERA.
Yep. And then as a reliever, much better. He's 4-0 with a 1.94 ERA and 26 appearances out of the bullpen.
So the splits are about even in terms of appearances. Now, again, this bodes well when the Brewers hit the postseason, doesn't it? I think if you look at that, that could come in really handy in the postseason. I would say now, just as a precursor with 10 games to play, you get into a postseason series, it's Woodruff, it's Burns, and it's Anderson. Now, I know the organization wants it to be Hauser, but it's not. You got to go with Brett Anderson in there. So going to be interesting. Really interesting numbers there. What was the ERA out of the pen again? It was good, is what it was. All right, let's check the numbers out here going inside the box in this ball game. Avisail Garcia went 1-for-5. Christian Yelich continues to put things together, guys. This is another good sign. 2-for-5, a run scored, an RBI, and that RBI on the solo shot, along with the run scored, I might add, 150th home run of his career. He did strike out twice as well. Ryan Braun goes 2-for-2 before he exited due to the injury. Jed Jerko, 2-for-3, two runs scored, two walks. Keeps keeping on the Jed Jerko bandwagon here. I'm jumping aboard. Keston Hira goes 1-for-4 with a run scored, drew a walk, and struck out three times for Keston. Tyrone Taylor goes 0-for-5. Whoops. Orlando Arcia, 2-for-3, two runs scored, four RBIs. He also drew a walk. Luis Urias, 1-for-4. Jacob Nottingham, one big blast, 1-for-4. Run scored and four knocked in on that grand slam. He struck out three times as well. Ben Gamel inserted into the game for Braun. 2-for-2, couple of doubles, two runs scored. Jace Peterson, a plate appearance, did draw a walk in the ball game. Let's go to the pitching lines. Adrian Hauser, four innings, five hits, four runs, just two earned. A pair of walks and a pair of strikeouts as well. Drew Rasmussen, one inning, one hit, no runs, a walk, and a couple of strikeouts. Alex Claudio, two-thirds of an inning, two hits, no runs, no walks, and one strikeout. Eric Yardley, one-third of an inning, zeros across the board. Justin Topa, one inning, one hit, no runs, no walks, and a pair of strikeouts. Corey Knable, one inning, one hit, no runs, a couple of walks. And Josh Hader, one inning pitch, allowed one hit, one run, it was earned. No walks and three Ks in the performance. Brewers get nine runs on 14 hits with two errors. The Royals, five runs, 11 hits, no errors. The win goes to Drew Rasmussen. Gets his first big league win, 1-0. Danny Duffy takes the loss. He is now 3-4, and the Brewers 24-26 on the campaign here with just 10 games remaining. And we just have a stretch drive to the finish here, and it's the business at hand here for the Brewers against the Royals. And you hate to say that in baseball, to expect a sweep. I expected a sweep last time the Brewers played the Pirates in that weekend wraparound series. You remember that? That was a four gamer, and I really thought they were going to sweep that team, and again, they took 3 of 4, and most times that's what occurs. But in this particular situation, I think you got to look for it. I think you have to expect it. You have to go for it. The Royals now are 21-30, so 9 under They had been playing hot coming into this series, so maybe you can cool them down a little bit. You're going to need the pitching, the offense, and again, we're seeing signs that are good, and the timing might be right here for the Brewers' offense just to start putting things together a little bit. The hit to Braun, we're going to find out how bad that back is, and we're going to find out from Craig Counsell how Josh Hader ended up in a 5-run ball game in the ninth inning. I would say that it's twofold. One is, needs to get some work. And he needs to work on things while he's getting some work. He hadn't pitched since Monday. Now, the biggest question of all in Josh Hader's appearance today, what if you need him tomorrow? What if you're a 1-run lead heading into the eighth inning? You know Devin Williams is going to be thrown out there to do his thing, and then it normally would have been Hader. Is he available tomorrow? That's my biggest question. All right, 414-799-1250, 10 to play. I'm not sure that 5-5 gets you in. I'm not convinced that 6-4 gets you in the remaining 10. We'll talk more. Let's hear from Craig Counsell up next. Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. Brewers get a 9-5 victory in game one of this 3-game set over the Royals. We'll be back here on The Fan.
It's the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. Let's get the scoop from the skipper on today's game on The Fan.
Brewers get a game one victory, had to have it, got it, all right, check that box, and now just 10 games remain here in the 2020 season, and they're on the outside looking in, guys, they are, but they can, you know, in this series, this is pretty vital to not lose much more ground. I guess you could afford, if need be, if you had to, I guess you could lose maybe a game to both Cincinnati and St. Louis, but, you know, look, a five-game against the St. Louis Cardinals, five-game series to end the season, you know, you go into that thing, you know, two back. I mean, that's a big road to hoe. That really is. That means you're going to have to go 4-1 in that five-game series. That's asking a lot on the road in St. Louis, even though there's no fans. By the way, one of those home games for the St. Louis Cardinals, they're going to be the road team. So the Brewers will have a home game at Busch. I guess I'm okay with that. There's no fans anyway, but okay, fair enough. But they get it done tonight. The long ball, 3-run shot from Arcia, solo shot from Christian Yelich, who is starting to heat up a little bit, guys, and also the big blast, a grand slam from Jacob Nottingham. Nottingham, I'll tell you, just real quick before we hear from Craig Counsell, Nottingham has been impressive, and I'm not sure what the organization thought of him prior to this year. There may have been some doubts. I don't know. There were some doubts with a lot of fans at the catching position, period. Feliciano's there in the minors. Peyton Henry's in the minors. But Nottingham has been impressive, both defensively, and now he's stepping up with the bat a little bit, coming up with some clutch hits. The catcher's ERA looks far better than Omar Narvaez does. I wonder if he's going to get kind of the lion's share down the stretch here. Now, again, I think it's an offensive thing for the most part. Lefty Duffy on the hill, so righty Nottingham is in. They go to a righty tomorrow, and then it's probably going to be Narvaez in there. But Nottingham, and end of the comment here, has been pretty impressive, both defensively and offensively. All right, let's get to Craig Counsell, things to listen for. The usage of Josh Hader and certainly Ryan Braun's injury.
Craig, how much did the just kind of the vibe change in that game? It was like an ugly start a little bit. Braun gets hurt. And then by the end of that inning, it was sort of had turned on its head thanks to Nottingham.
Yeah, well, 6 runs will do that. Generally turn games around. So it was a big inning with a huge hit. You know, a 2-out grand slam is that's a game changer for sure. But it was a good inning overall. We did a lot of good things. Yelly let it off the homer, and Ronnie got on base again. So you know, we even before the Grand Slam, I felt like we clawed back into the game there at 4-2. You know, we're definitely in the game. So, but Nadi's hit obviously changes it around pretty big.
He really picked up a teammate too, Craig, because Urias struck out before that, and now Duffy Allison has a chance to get out with a lead. And one pitch later, boom, and the game's completely different.
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge hit. You know, that two-out hit with men on base is enormous. And, you know, it's a scenario it's felt like we've been in quite a bit this year. And, you know, that we haven't necessarily succeeded in a frequently, but tonight we did.
Any preliminary thing on Ryan? I guess you've just tweaked the back again. It was the same issue.
His back just – it kind of got – it started tightening up really right kind of close to game time. So he wasn't in good shape as we were starting. So actually he and I talked and said, well, you know, we'll look at two at-bats here with the kind of how their team is structured. I thought, you know, let's see what two at-bats look like and then we'll go from there. And it was kind of getting progressively worse. So we got him out of there, but you know, he helped us win the game, I feel like. So we'll see how he is tomorrow. He's got his back spasms, just tight back.
Did something happen with Ben Gamel?
Yeah, his quad's bothering him. It's kind of been something he's been playing with for most of the season, to be honest with you. So it just got a little worse today.
Craig, Ryan made a point of telling us after the game that after so much trouble with that back, and it finally felt good. He finally felt like he had his legs under him. He's ready to do this. And so it just shows how fragile that thing is. And you've told us sometimes it's not even a game that does it.
Yeah, I mean, I was, you know, I was really, I mean, I thought I was feeling good. I was optimistic about kind of going into this last stretch. You know, we got him six innings yesterday and day off. So, feeling good, but it's not baseball that did it to him necessarily yesterday, you know, or today. It's just how his back is right now.
Hey, Craig, it's rare to see Josh Hader pitching late in the game with that 5-run lead. Does that just speak to the sort of the magnitude of winning this game with just only 10 games left or so?
No, I wouldn't say that. It's just Josh has not pitched that much. And, you know, we because Eric got hurt and we'd used five guys already. And so, you know, and just because we have not used Josh a lot, you know, I thought it was a good inning for him to pitch. You know, we're winning and, you know, I got to use Ray, and then maybe as guys get on, we're getting Josh up anyway. So just kind of the sequence of the game and using six relievers on a busy night for the bullpen.
What does this game kind of say for the depth of the bullpen to pitch six different guys, one inning, six different guys, six innings, just with the one run, the homer in the ninth?
No, they did. Their guys did a good job. They did a nice job. Everybody did their job this in each inning, and they should all be good to go tomorrow. So we're in good shape. But bullpen did a great job for sure.
Greg, how is Yardley?
He has a shin contusion. He was pretty sore walking off. It got him just square in the shin. So he's going to be hobbling around tomorrow. We'll see how he is. I mean, it's nothing. We took an X-ray. No issue there. But he's going to be hobbling around tomorrow.
Do you think Gamble's going to be available tomorrow, Craig?
I don't know.
We didn't even mention Orlando's big home run. Another two-out hit, too, Craig. So, I mean, you know, we've talked about, and you just mentioned, the two-out hits have sometimes been few and far between, but just two huge ones tonight.
Yeah, I mean, that's seven runs on those things. So, those are beautiful things, the three-run homer. Those homers with men on base change games, and that was also just a big one. Like, that, you know, gave us a space, and I thought that space let us really sequence the bullpen really nicely. and leave us in good shape for tomorrow. So that was just as – it was big from the bullpen perspective, kind of how we were going to work it the rest of the day.
It's the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. It's time for the Gene Wagner Plumbing Are You Kidding Me moment of the game on The Fan. Gene Wagner Plumbing, celebrating over 50 years in business. For any residential, commercial, or industrial plumbing needs, go to GeneWagnerPlumbing.com.
So you get the scoop there on Josh Hader, and that is just to get some work done. Hasn't been pitching a lot. So that's about what we had thought. Now, on the Ryan Braun thing, it wasn't baseball this time. You know, that the whole back thing, if this is the way it's going to be for Brawny, I do see him retiring then. Because if there's no consistency of him in the lineup, then, you know, I don't know. That's such a tough thing. That's such a tough call. Not only for the organization, but for Ryan Braun himself. I mean, you want to invest in an off-season regiment. You want to invest in a spring training regiment and start ramping up, and then you got to go for it. And if after all of that, on a moment's notice, the fragile nature of the back or torso or finger or whatever it is, I mean, I don't know if I'd feel comfortable if I were Ryan Braun going out there and having the uncertainty on a daily basis. I'm not sure I would. That's going to be interesting. That's an interesting situation, to say the least, for sure. The spark of the game, clearly. Down 4-2, two outs, bases juice. Jacob Nottingham, a grand slam, spark of the game with Current Electric, your electrician superheroes at callcurrent.com. That was a huge, huge swing of the bat there. I mean, I'm not convinced that the Brewers win this game. They don't get that swing right there. There's the spark of the game. We'll have your Chevy MVB coming up in a little bit. We're going to hear from Pat Murphy. Also, we will hear from who, Austin? We got on the slate Nottingham, maybe?
Yep, Jacob Nottingham.
Okay, very good. Right now, the Are You Kidding Me moment of the game. This is pretty cool because he's one of our own here. Now, set this up. But what exactly is this, Austin?
So during each game, the Brewers have been doing a ceremonial first cheers sponsored by Miller Lite. And our very own Leroy Butler got to take the stage today.
All right, check this out.
Leroy Butler here cheering for my favorite baseball team, the Milwaukee Brewers. And guess what? I have my own glass, and it even has the leap on it. Go Brewers.
There you go. Leroy Butler. There you go. Are You Kidding Me moment of the game with Gene Wagner Plumbing. I love that. Yeah, Leroy's such a great dude. He really is. I can tell you, knowing him personally for many years, one of the best guys you're ever going to meet. And it's just, you guys hear him every day on the Wendy's Big Show, but just a good man, Leroy Butler. All right, we will hear from Jacob Nottingham coming up. Also, Pat Murphy, want to get to his comments. Murph never at a loss for words, that's for sure. He will be inside the clubhouse as well. And you guys want to jump in here, 414-799-1250. 10 games left for the crew here in 2020. They get two more against the Royals, and then it's game on, really. I mean, it's game on now, don't get me wrong. But you got to do everything you can to hold serve here with the Reds, a game in front of you. A game and a half are the Cardinals in front of you. The final eight games starting on Monday, right in front of you. It's, in a way, controlling destiny a little bit. I guess that's the way I would put it. But if you falter, if you stumble a little bit, ooh, that's going to be tough. However, if you don't stumble and they do, maybe they're chasing you by the time you face them. That's an absolute possibility as well. Okay, we'll do Jacob Nottingham up next. Now, Jacob Nottingham, by the way, he has come up with some big hits. That doesn't mean he's a great hitter right now. Well, he's hitting about .185. So just want to clarify that a little bit. But he has come up with some key key swings here for the Brewers here in 2020 in a short time that he's been up here since Manny Pena's injury. All right, we'll be back. Bayview Shade and Blind post-game show. Brewers win 9-5 final.
It's the Bayview Shade and Blind post-game show. It's time to go inside the clubhouse to hear what the players are saying after today's game on The Fan. It's brought to you by Windows Select. Right now, buy one and get one free, plus no payments until 2021. Call Windows Select today at 262-703-3500.
9-5, Brewers take game one of this three-game weekend set over the Mike Matheny-led Kansas City Royals. And now you push the accelerator just a little bit more here as you head back into it game two. But, you know, again, I think everybody's eyeballs are on that final week starting on Monday. But, you know, again, you start looking ahead of teams in Major League Baseball, those dudes want to win too. And you get yourself into trouble that way. Let's see here. Jacob Nottingham, I wonder if he's going to be your Chevy MVP in this one, turned around a 4-2 ball game into a 6-4 lead. And really, hats off to Craig Counsell, too, in this one, guys, for the way he managed that bullpen. And again, we always, when things go south, we always looking to point fingers and have somebody to blame on this. We never really... I shouldn't say never, but oftentimes we forget about giving credit where credit's due when you did hold the game right there. It's just a two-run lead, and how many times have the Brewers given up a two-run lead and lost a ball game? Quite a few times this year, I would say. And not to blame the pitching staff on a whole ton this year, but that has happened. In fact, it happened the other day against the Cardinals. You're up 2-0. But Craig Counsell managed a great game tonight in terms of his bullpen. I mean, he lined it all up there, and you heard him talk about that. It went well, and it allowed you to go back into tomorrow's game in pretty fresh and good shape. You've got Devin Williams available. You've got Freddie Peralta available. I think Drew Rasmussen can go back-to-back. So you're in Ray Black can throw an inning or two. So you're in decent shape heading into tomorrow's game. Hats off to Craig Counsell on the way he managed the bullpen. Jacob Nottingham, as I said, turned this game around. That grand slam takes it from a 4-2 deficit to a 6-4 lead. Here's Nottingham after the ball game.
Jacob, we've asked you a lot about your improved defense and everything, but how much fun was it to turn a game around with one swing of the bat?
It's awesome. Anything you could do to help the team get ahead and put pressure on the other team, it's what you want to do. And you're just trying to fight right there. There's two outs, so you're just trying to get anybody across the board just to get something going. So to be able to barrel that ball up and have it go over was awesome. And definitely just trying to bring some spark to the team. And I think we did a great job today after that of just having good energy, and obviously some guys hit some homers after, and that's exactly what we needed. Just bring sparks, and I think we did that today.
Jacob, having the energy earlier in the game, it was a little sloppy early for the team, it looked like.
I mean, it just got a quick they got some runs on the board, and but you know, we came back and we put some runs up, and I think our energy definitely went up from there. And like I said, we put runs across the board, and we got a good team win today.
Jacob, does having a guy like Murph back with you guys help with that energy?
Yeah, I mean, we miss a guy like that. Obviously, he brings a lot of energy every day. Just to see him just put a smile on everybody's faces, and it's awesome to have him here. And it's big that we can get a win in front of him tonight.
You were down 4-0 early. Y'all weren't doing much right the first few innings. What gave y'all confidence that you could come back and turn things around the way you were able to? And what was the mood like in the dugout early on?
You know, it's early in the game, so anything could happen. But like I said, you're just trying to fight. You're just trying to get one run across the board. But you know, we got 4-5 in one inning, so. To do that, to be able to battle back in a situation like that from going behind so early in a game, it's It's definitely something you need. And I think we took advantage from took advantage of it after that.
Jacob, how much better is it to have good at bats? How much easier is it when you get to play more like you are now?
Obviously, it's a lot. It gets easier. I mean, it's not easy hitting up here, but to be able to see pitches day in and day out, to get your timing there, to be able to just keep working, keep grinding, and it helps a lot. But, you know, the big thing is just coming in every day, just be ready no matter what, if I'm in or not in, and just keep trying to perform.
Drew Rasmussen got the win tonight, Jacob. What do you like about his stuff, seeing him behind the plate?
He's fearless, you know. Like that guy throws four pitches, and he throws them all for strikes. He has like a rising fastball, so it gets on you even harder than it says. So it's kind of crazy hearing that because he throws 98. So he has a heavy fastball, great off speed. Like I said, his command's good, and when a guy's like that on the mound, then you could definitely feel it.
It's the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. Let's find out who today's Chevy MVB of the game is on The Fan. Find what's next. Check out the new 2020 Chevy Silverado at your local Chevy dealer or at WisconsinDriveChevy.com.
Yeah, I think the Chevy MVB should be Leroy Butler for the toast on Fox Sports Wisconsin. No, I'm kidding. It's Jacob Nottingham. Just 1-for-4. He did strike out 3 times, but I don't care. In this case, if that one swing is going to turn this thing into a Brewers advantage, we'll take it. There's your Chevy MVB, Jacob Nottingham. And I will say this, that the more you think about being down 4-0 in this game, this is a huge win. And we just look at it like, it's the Royals, they're rebuilding, they're not as good, or whatever, they're struggling this year. No, I guess I don't look at it that way. I look at it as you're down 4-0 to a Major League Baseball team, and you came back to win this ball game. That's huge, guys. This could have easily have gotten sideways on the Brewers. And we'd be talking about, are they, you know, now they're 2.5 back or 2 back or whatever it might be. It's a big, big come-from-behind victory. It sets the stage for that 10-game mark, 10 games to go in the 2020 season. And good to have some advice and entertainment back in the dugout as Brewers bench coach Pat Murphy recovers from a heart attack earlier this season. Now let's stay right here and hear from the Brewers bench coach.
Murph, how much did you miss us, and how much is that driving this decision to come back?
You particularly?
Just what does it feel like to be... How does it feel to be back and sort of, you know, we know you've kept in contact with the team, but just to be back with it.
You know, I'm just grateful. You know, that's what it's all about, the connection between people and, you know, the guys is, I just was just telling them, you know, like, this is the part you're going to miss. You know, you can shoo away this season for a number of reasons of being so difficult and everybody having to make huge adjustments, but the part you really... You take for granted sometimes, but until you don't have it anymore, just the connection, being together, that's what it's all about. That's why I do it.
Hey, Murph, welcome back. Good to see you. Hey, did you think you'd be able to get back this year, Murph? Did you just sort of take it day by day, or did you always say, I want to get back before this season's done?
I was pretty certain that, you know, I was in the ambulance on the way over. I was pretty certain I was going to be fine the next day, but they kind of let me know that probably wasn't it. But you know, I mean, I was hopeful once they told me that they got everything straightened out. I was hopeful that I would be back.
Merv, how did you, you know, just watch the game, stay in touch with players, do all of your life coaching that you typically do?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't the best way. It did give me I look at it as an opportunity because it gave me a different look at the game. I got to hear all the broadcasters and the different teams. I got an evaluation sheet on that. But no, it it was kind of cool getting the FaceTime after the game was over and, you know, just trying to keep that connection. But it's no way to do it. It, you know, I'm thankful I had the opportunity, but it's no way to carry out your life work.
How much has this whole experience just kind of changed you over the last month? And at what point did you kind of recognize the gravity of the situation? I know you had been talking, from the way it was described to us, it sounded like you didn't realize until you were told just how serious this was.
Yeah, I was worried about our trainer. Scotty was in the ambulance with us, and Scotty was white as a ghost. I was like, hey, guys, don't worry about my next of kin. Let's worry about this guy. You're about to open up the defibrillators on him. I kind of didn't realize it. Maybe I was just playing it off a little bit. But, you know, there's no heart disease in my family. There's no history. I'm a fairly healthy person. There's no history of any complications. And I guess I didn't understand it till after. And I guess I probably still don't know, really realize the magnitude of what it could mean with young children like I have. But I've just chose to, you know, just be grateful and not worry about how close it was and try to live a little healthier. And I guess that's just trying to eliminate stress, but I don't look at this type of stress as what hurts you. You know, it's the other kind of stress I think that hurts you. Baseball is just, you know, it's a beautiful game and you can get uptight a little bit and get, you know, your emotions can get rolling, but no reason to let it morph into something real serious. But it's that other stress that gets you.
Murph, you talk about eliminating stress. Well, here you come right into the end of the pennant race. There's tons of stress. How are you going to avoid that? And did your doctor really say you could do this, or did you like sneak away?
Well, I didn't sneak away. That's for sure. If I snuck away, I would have snuck away like 4 weeks ago. But I don't look at it as stress. I mean, I know that it's what you do in life. You don't look at coming to work today, Tom, as stress. You've done it a lot. You might have a big day. It might be a day there were some real goings on, and you handle it as another opportunity, another day. I think I look at it the same way. You're going to win. You're going to lose. You're going to have tough calls. You're going to have unfortunate things happen. You're going to have great things happen. You just keep it in perspective. I don't look at that as health altering. It's something we're lucky enough to do every day.
Murph, where are you going to be during the game today? And when do you think you'll be back in the dugout during a game?
It's kind of funny because I got a meeting with Counts after this. And I think he's going to try to tell me where I'm going to be. I might just not go to that meeting. So I'm going to see how long. What time is game time? Okay. Yeah, well, we're going to try to avoid that as long as we can. You guys keep asking me questions and stuff. We can have some fun, and then I'll just go wherever I want during the game. So.
Did he ever miss a meeting in his playing days with you, and what was the punishment?
If he came late to a practice or missed a meeting, he would we call it, hey, we'll call you when we need you. So you're off the team until we call you. So I hope I don't get that.
Murph, don't you wish you were here the other night when the entire Cardinals team charged the dugout led by their manager? That, you know, you don't see that every day.
Yeah. Probably wouldn't have been good for me. But, you know, things work out in a certain way. But I think most of those baseball things, there's nothing really going to go on. It's just a lot of posturing and a lot of conversation.
Murph, can you talk about the support that you got from Craig, the rest of the staff, the players, the organization? Just, I know they were checking in on you a lot and very supportive.
Yeah, they were great. So, I mean, everybody here, the medical staff, fantastic, coaching staff, all these guys, it makes you feel great, you know, like they're really there for you and they really care. Players, front office, you know, It was unbelievable. you know, was after a while, I said, hey, guys, stop calling. I know you're checking on me. I'm, you know, I'm good. You know, you check on me. Oh, how'd you do today? Oh, great. I swam for a while. That was my day. So I sent them the message. I was on my way to getting better. And but they were just outstanding. Just outstanding. Really, really made you feel like this is a family.
Murph, what was today like in that regard then? I mean, we're not there to kind of see you. We were not there to kind of see the reaction of you returning. What was that like?
Yeah, it was special. Yeah, it was special. It was great. So I busted right into some nice insults of the players. It was perfect. You know, I was on Vogelbach hard because I don't know him yet. So I said, hey, Vogel, wait a minute. How did I have a heart attack and you haven't had a heart attack yet? I mean, come on. That was my first line to him. He's like, who is this guy? Then we started, I mean, he's a great, great kid. We started conversating about how I gave I wore my three up and three down. I said I wore it to the offensive meeting and said that, you know, like, I thought this was our new offensive philosophy, three up and three down. So that went over big. They said, well, Murph's back.
Murph, teams play all year to be in a position for these final games to mean something. And you've been here, you guys have had a lot of meaningful games late, but how great is it to jump back in with these games that this team's got ahead of them?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's just, you know, it really is something to be thankful for. You know, as a coach, this is what you live for. And I've been lucky enough to be part of this group and, you know, been part of a lot of these games and learned a whole lot. I mean, I've just learned so much about, you know, how these things go and how players have to feel great about themselves. They have to feel great about what they're going to be asked to do. They're going to have to feel prepared and they got to feel great about themselves. And sometimes things get in the way and get them down. And I think it's our jobs to help them understand that. But this is about them. This 11 games about them and making sure they are prepared and making sure they, you know, feel like a million bucks walking to the plate or going to the mound or going to play defense.
How closely were you able to, I guess you were back home in Arizona. How close were you able to follow the team while you were in your recovery? Did you get to see every game and how often were you giving progress reports to Craig?
Yeah, I think Craig and I talk often. And talk to David and Matt and Walker and Brian, and, you know, a lot of the staff. So I watched every pitch, you know, sometimes with the sound down, sometimes with the sound up. Sometimes I listen to you because I just love you. So, but I watched every game, yeah, I watched every pitch.
Hey, Murph, if there's ever a day for hugs and embraces, this would be the day, but COVID doesn't allow that. I mean, or did you guys just violate all kinds of COVID rules today?
No comment.
Murph, how do you feel? We haven't even asked you. How do you feel?
I mean, it's not how you feel, it's how you behave. You know, that's what I've learned. So I actually, to be honest with you, feel pretty good. I've tried to get myself, in a mode where who cares how you feel? You know, when your birth date is before a certain year, you get up in the morning and it's just how you go about it. It ain't about how you feel. So I'm feeling pretty good.
Well, there he is, Brewers bench coach Pat Murphy. I mean, there's the sense of humor for that guy. It's just amazing. Now, he was talking about stress there, and I can tell you that, you know, he says it's this is the easy stress, and it's the other stress that's a little more difficult. No. I am the direct opposite of that. It's directly opposite. This is the tough stress for me at times. Is Brewer's stress. The other stress, that's the easy part for me. The regular life, that's the easy part for me. It's this Brewer stuff that's going to put me in a body bag, I think. A good friend of ours, Pat Murphy there, the Brewers bench coach. He'll be back into the dugout tomorrow for game 2. It's Kansas City. in Milwaukee to take on your Brewers. We'll take a peek at the starters for tomorrow as well up next. And Brewers hanging tough. And think about this during the break here. The odds came out for the Brewers over and under, and they were sitting at like the 31.5, 32 range. Look where they're at now, 24-26 with 10 to play. Now, they split those games. You're at 29. You go 6-4. You're at 30. How do they know this? I mean, how do they know this stuff? It's a Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. Brewers get the game one victory, 9-5 final. We'll be back.
It's the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show, and it's time to check the Major League scoreboard on the Fan.
All right, final couple of things here after the Brewers get a 9-5 victory, game one of a three-game weekend set against the Kansas City Royals. So in the Central, with a Cubs victory over the Twins today, one zip. Figure that one out. Although the Brewers had a one-zip win last Friday night, too. So the Brewers trail the Cubs by 7 games with 10 remaining. So you're saying they still have a shot? Probably not. However, the Brewers a game and a half back of both St. Louis and Cincinnati for second place. Cincinnati, they get a win today over the White Sox, and the Cardinals, they take a doubleheader. They win both games against the Pittsburgh Pirates. So a game and a half back of both St. Louis and Cincinnati are the Brewers. 10 to play. Now, in the wild card situation, the Brewers, again, similar situation, two different teams, Philadelphia and San Francisco, where the Brewers are a game and a half back of both of those teams. So, scoreboard watching plenty here. You keep an eye on the Reds tomorrow. You keep an eye on the Cardinals tomorrow. You keep an eye on the San Francisco Giants tomorrow. You keep an eye on the Philadelphia Phillies tomorrow. So this is just getting good here. 10 games remaining here in the 2020 season as the Brewers go into it with game two. And it's Corbin Burnes. And is Corbin this good? I mean, he's outstanding. A sub-2 ERA, 1.98. In 10 appearances, 7 starts for the Brewers. Bubic on the hill, the lefty for the Kansas City Royals, 1-5 with a 4.5 ERA. So the Brewers' offense should have a decent shot. Look for a right-handed kind of leaning lineup for Craig Counsell again tomorrow. They face the lefty today. They'll face another one tomorrow. So it's going to be interesting to see if Ryan Braun can go with the spasms or the tightness or whatever the back is doing this time. But hopefully he can be in there 2-for-2 tonight. Brewers get the victory, 9-5, 3 homers, 3-run shot by Lando, a grand slam by Jacob Nottingham, solo shot for Yelly, part of a multi-hit game for Christian Yelich. All right, for Austin, Texas, my name is Tim Allen. You guys have a great rest of your Friday night. We'll see you tomorrow on Deck Show with Pella Windows and Doors at 5 after the last pitch. Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. We'll see you then. Smile, Milwaukee. The world will smile back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.